floods around the world. Global financial crisis. What does it all mean? Find out in the startling new book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, by best-selling author L.A. Marzulli. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is a hard-hitting exposé of current events and how they may relate to ancient biblical prophecies. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural explains the growing potential for nuclear war in the Middle East, the Great Deception, the so-called alien agenda, and groundbreaking new information on the return of the Nephilim and the UFO connection. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is available exclusively at lamarzulli.net. Plus, if you order now, you'll receive L.A. Marzulli's new ebook, The Alien Interviews, absolutely free. Don't wait. Get both of these groundbreaking books today for only $10 plus shipping and handling. Log on to lamarzulli.net.
Government, a one-world religious system, will America be attacked again? Do ancient prophetic texts warn of the time we are living in? Are we in the last days, the time of Jacob's trouble, the end of the world as we know it? And what of the increase of UFO sightings? While we may disagree as to what is causing the phenomena, we can agree that it is real, burgeoning, and not going away. Is this the coming great deception that ancient prophecy warns us about? Does time seem to be accelerating? Join me, your host, L.A. Marzulli, as we explore these and other riveting and stimulating topics. This is Acceleration Radio. And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, L.A. Marzulli. Welcome to this fun-filled edition of Acceleration Radio. It is December, and I'm just excited. We were supposed to have Joe Jordan on tonight, and our producer, Frank, is ringing his number right now. We're getting answering machines. I'm not sure what's going on. Hopefully we will get Joe, and he will be on. In lieu of that, I will just begin to wing it, which is always fun on live radio. Last night I was on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. We did 4 hours of just hard-hitting interview. It was just fascinating. Talked on a variety of topics. One of the topics we spoke about, and I will get into that now since I am ad-libbing, as it were, over the Thanksgiving holiday. You may have know about this, or you may have read about it. It was picked up by the Associated Press. Was definitely on the news cycle for about typical 12 hours, in some cases 24 hours. And I refer to, ladies and gentlemen, about a very bizarre calf mutilation found on a Colorado ranch. I will just read you highlights, and then I will tell you that I spoke to one of the investigators there. His name is Chuck Zukowski. By the way, Chuck is our guest next week, the same time, same station on Acceleration Radio. And we will be talking about the UFO phenomena and cattle mutilations and just the whole ball of wax from his perspective. He has a slightly different worldview than mine. But again, while we may disagree as to what is the cause of the phenomena, we can agree and discuss and dialogue and talk about that UFOs and the entire phenomena that surrounds it is real, burgeoning and not going away. But onto the cattle mutilations, ladies and gentlemen. Bizarre calf mutilations found in the Colorado ranch, San Luis, Colorado. A creepy string of calf mutilations in southern Colorado has a rancher and sheriff's official mystified. Boy, is that an understatement. 4 calves were found dead in a pasture just north of the New Mexico state line in recent weeks. The dead calves had their skins peeled back and organs cleared from the rib cage. 1 calf had its tongue removed. But rancher Manuel Sanchez has found no signs of human attackers, such as footprints or ATV tracks. There are no signs of animal attack by a coyote or a mountain lion. Usually, predators leave pools of blood or drag marks from carrying away the livestock. Two officers from the Costilla County Sheriff's Office have investigated the mutilations, but say they don't know what's killing the calves. There's nothing really to go by, said Sanchez, who's ranched for nearly 50 years. I can't figure it out. I butchered a cow before, and I know what kind of a mess it leaves, said Sergeant James Chavez. But when he investigated the scene, there was no blood there. Some in the area believe the mutilations are the work of aliens. An area UFO chaser, Chuck Zukowski, Colorado Springs, has been to the Castilla County pasture to investigate. He told the paper that there have been other unexplained calf mutilations in the area, including three in March. One of the other calves found dead on a rancher near Trinidad had its ears removed, Zukowski said. We're trying as much as we can to find a pattern, said Zukowski, who runs a UFO website called UFONut.com. Sanchez said he was told of this Sanchez said he has sold off his 32 remaining calves out of fear more would be mutilated. He hasn't decided how he'll manage the remaining 40 animals in his herd. It's a big loss for a small rancher. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And we discussed this on Coast to Coast last night with George Norrie. But we're here now on Acceleration Radio and waiting for Joe. So I will begin to discuss some of the high points of that mutilation. And speaking with Chuck Zukowski, first of all, Chuck is a member of MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, and investigated. He was actually in the field, and when you go to his website, UFONut.com, you will see some very graphic pictures of these mutilations. So if you have a weak constitution, I would steer you away from that at all costs. It is very graphic and literally horrific. What is alarming about this is that who's ever doing it? And, of course, I believe it's all tied into the UFO phenomena. But let's step back a little bit. Maybe some listeners aren't ready to embrace that. If that's true, if these mutilations are caused by, well, let's put it this way. Let me back up here. Who's ever doing it? Who's ever doing these heinous acts? Who's ever carving up these cattle literally with surgical precision, removing their udders or sometimes their entire reproductive system is out, or the heart? I mean, how about this? Removing the heart from the animal, and yet there's the rest of the organs around it are intact and there's no blood? I mean, that's just ridiculous. Who's ever doing it, and this is my point, does so with impunity. In other words, they're basically saying, hey, we can come in to your property, to your domain, to your area of work, and we can take whatever we want to. We can take this cow, this calf, mutilate it, and then drop it back in your field, basically saying, screw you. And that's what this is. And, of course, who's ever doing it moves with impunity. So, you know, this is very unnerving stuff. And I just looked over at my other screen here, and I see that Joe is on the line. So there you go. That's good, Frank. And let me just finish up this cattle mutilation, and we'll get to Joe. So in the meantime, I'm talking to Chuck, and Chuck was telling me that there seems to be a pattern with this particular mutilation case. There were four cows, per instance. In Sanchez's case, there was a missing tongue 50 miles away. The Miller case, missing ears. Chuck also said something to me which I found incredibly disturbing. Chuck said that the cattle mutilation phenomena has gone destructive. In other words, let's say go back a decade, these incisions were very neat. They would take an udder, an eye, a tongue, strip the jaw clean. Now it's like most of the calf is gone, and it's done so with surgical precision. Chuck also said something which I found incredibly alarming, that apparently it is now moving over into human abduction and human mutilation. I have not been able to document that. It makes for sensationalistic radio, I admit. But if it's true, ladies and gentlemen, we have just crossed a line, a boundary, which is incredibly unnerving and very unsettling. At the Miller sighting, there was a large black triangle that was sighted by multiple witnesses. In the Sanchez sighting, in the month of July, he began to see an anomalous light for about an hour every night. Didn't know what to make of it. Didn't see a disc or a craft. But nonetheless, this was some sort of an anomalous light in the sky. So what's interesting that when Chuck and I were discussing this, we both agreed, we both concurred that the media's treatment of this at least has changed. It's not little green men and, oh, you know, it's just a bunch of coyotes or just some satanic worshippers out there or some sort of weird cult. I mean, they're actually reporting what the story with, I believe, sort of a different level of journalism. There's no tongue-in-cheek, at least not in this article released on the AP. So my hat is off to the people that did it at the Chieftain. It's actually the Pueblo Chieftain. If you want to check that out, it's www.chieftain.com, and you can peruse there. The best place for the information, if you want to check it out, is to go to Chuck Zukowski's site, and that, of course, is UFONuts.com. I think it'd be better UFO Nut, like cosmonaut or something, but it's UFONut.com, and I know he means that in a good way. And Chuck will be on our show next week, and we will be discussing different aspects of the UFO phenomenon. But tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Joe Jordan, who is the president and co-founder of CE4 Research Group, an alien abduction investigation and research team based out of Cocoa, Florida. Joe has been a mutual UFO network field investigator since 1992. He has shared his research findings from his alien abduction investigation through many radio shows, newspaper and magazine articles, DVDs, and lectures. His research findings on alien abductions have been written about in 12 different authored books over the past decade. He has spoken during 6 Roswell UFO festivals in Roswell, New Mexico, including the 60th anniversary conference in 2007. He was also honored to host the Roswell UFO Festival Conference for the city of Roswell in 2008. And we welcome Joe Jordan to Acceleration Radio.
Thank you, L.A., for having me on again. It's good to be back.
Hey, absolutely, Joe. You're a regular here. You will be with your second time. And as long as Acceleration Radio is on, you can count at least twice a year, possibly more, depending on what's going on. I just read a very short bio of what you do, but I think we need to do a little bit of backstory, perhaps a thumbnail sketch of what got you into all this and how it changed your life. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, actually, I started into all of this UFO craziness, should I say, because it kind of seems that way after a while, back in 1992, and it was just by pure picking up one book at the airport on the way to a trip to Alaska. I just needed something to read, and it was UFO Crash at Roswell. I had no interest in UFOs at the time. It was the farthest thing from my mind, but that book caught my attention. And I was an avid science fiction reader when I was young, and it read like a science fiction book, but it said that it was actual investigation. And that caught my interest and led me down this path of doing UFO research right from that book. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me quite a journey over the years. I started out as basically doing UFO sighting reports and investigations for MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. Mm-hmm. And then as we proceeded in the first 4 or 5 years of doing investigations, we felt that we were kind of chasing our tail doing UFO investigations and wanted to try to find a way to get closer to the source of what was really happening. And that's when we came across abduction and contactee experiencers at our monthly meetings that we were holding. And we felt that these people were the front line. And if we were going to find out what this was all about, we needed to get closer to the source of this phenomenon, and we felt that they were the closest to the source. So we started moving our research into the abduction arena, and that's where we have focused in the past 12 years, I'd say. And it was about 1997 that we came across one very unusual case that changed the way we were to look at this from then on. And it was one case where a person said he'd been able to stop his experience. And it was a very unique case because we'd never read about anything like this before, never heard about it from the lectures that people had done. And we had to question this, whether we had something that was just off the wall or something that was legit. And confirmation from other leading researchers led us to believe that this was a legit case, and they also had come across cases like this. So we felt that we would take this piece of the UFO puzzle and this is where our work would focus on and continue over the next 10 years, and documenting these cases that are similar to this first one that we had, and compiling a database and sharing it with the public. And that brings us up to today.
Just really, really fascinating stuff. Let me ask you something, Joe. When did you really begin to understand or embrace? I know in the Alien Interview book you came on, fascinating interview in that, and we've asked you all sorts of questions in that book, and I'm not going to duplicate those here. But like Dr. Jacobs, there was a moment in time where he realized that that these people weren't making this stuff up. When did you, you know, sort of get a hold of that, and how did that affect you?
Well, when we started doing the actual investigations with abductees that were coming to our meetings, which were local people, and local, I meaning pretty much all around Central Florida, not just in the county where I'm at, but they would come from all over to the meetings. And as we started listening to their stories, I questioned, you know, whether they were legit to begin with, the whole idea of this abduction experience. And as we listened to them and listened to their stories from the heart and could hear the trauma that they had gone through and how their lives had been turned upside down, we were pretty sure that this was a legitimate phenomenon that was happening, because it wasn't like people coming to us and wanting to brag. These people were coming to us and asking us as MUFON investigators, can you help us? You know, will you listen to my story? And that's a little different than somebody coming and just wanting to boast about something. These people actually had a lot of trauma that they had gone through, and they wanted to overcome it. And we had no idea how to help them. And I guess they thought that since we were UFO researchers, we had an answer for them, but we didn't at the time.
Wow. Huh. And so I'm sorry, yeah, Joe.
Yeah, but that, and once I saw that, that really hit me hard, because it was one thing to be chasing strange lights in the sky, but to actually listen to these people's stories and understand that something really was happening here, that took a hold of me in a way that I never expected it to. I really felt for these people, and I felt that, you know, I'd love to get an answer for these people and be able to share with them and be able to help them. But I never dreamed that we would come across that ability.
So at the time when this was manifesting and you began to investigate it, you were not a Christian at that time. Is that correct?
That's correct. I actually came into the UFO phenomenon and research as an agnostic. I had no belief in God, and thinking about a creator of the universe was about the farthest thing from my mind. I was trying to raise my son and work a, you know, 40, 50, 60-hour job, and it just wasn't one of those things that my attention was on. And I've been brought up, you know, in school through evolution, you know, teaching, and we come from pond scum. I'd been raised in the church, but I moved away from it as a rebellious teenager, and I've always had a scientific interest, you know, in looking at the sciences, geology, archaeology, and biology, and all of that. And everything always pointed to a long Earth, which was against what Christians were teaching.
Sure.
And I always felt that the evidence was there for that. So I came across this as an agnostic in the beginning. But when I started having the monthly meetings and listening to the different people that came in with stories, not just the abductees and contactees, because when you open up a UFO meeting to the public, you get all sorts of people in there. And listening to what they had to say, some of the stuff was quite bizarre and quite far out. And a lot of it was along the metaphysical and New Age line of thinking. And I could see that this was part of the puzzle, the UFO puzzle. I just couldn't understand how it was part of it, but it seemed to be those people were attracted to the whole idea of UFOs and abductions. So I explored that for quite some time, quite a number of years, and actually fell right into place with these people and their metaphysical beliefs and New Age beliefs for probably 4 or 5 years. And even to the point where if a Christian came to the meeting, or if my friends that were professing Christians, I would do everything I could to change their thinking, you know.
Gotcha.
And it wasn't hard to to do that for a lot of them, because a lot of people just really didn't know what they believed. And it's when I came across these first couple cases that I saw that something was wrong in all of this, and I was able to see the truth in what was happening. God showed me the truth in what we were working with, and then I wanted to be part of that, and that's when I became a Christian in 1996.
Wow. That's just amazing. Let me go back to that first gentleman who called you and said that he was abducted and he was able to stop his abduction by calling out the name of Jesus. Now, there are many skeptics. I won't mention but his name, but another UFO researcher, very, very well known. And again, you know, I'm not here to argue or demean anybody, but it bothers me when people make blanket statements and just sort of look at your evidence in particular, or my evidence in particular, and just dismiss it and say, well, you know, that's, you know, evoking any deity won't work, and the name of Jesus, or calling out and saying the blood of Jesus or Jesus doesn't have any effect, and, you know, people have snickered and laughed, you know, on the air and sort of demean this. So let's go back to your very first one, and then we'll build our case from there. When you went and interviewed this guy, you were not a Christian at the time, so you at the time, and you had no axe to grind. You had no dog in the hunt, as it were. You were just going there investigating, and this guy comes up and tells you this. What was your reaction to that, and how, when he presented this to you, how was he? Was he really sincere? Was he sort of overtly religious? I mean, how did, you know, share some of that. Give us an insight into this man and exactly what he said verbatim, if you can remember. And, you know, what did he say? What did he do? And then what happened in that experience? How did it end?
Well, this is quite an interesting story, because when I first interviewed him 6 months before I became a Christian, I can't even recall him telling me about that experience where he stopped the experience. We recorded it on video, myself and my lead investigator at the time. I was state section director at the time of my county.
Wow, okay.
And I had my lead investigator with me, who was a Christian. I was practicing New Age. My lead investigator was a believer. He didn't catch it either. And we actually videoed 2 hours worth of testimony from this particular case. And it wasn't until after I became a Christian and I was able to see what we were working with here, God showed me in a particular instance what we were dealing with, and I had to question that, being a new Christian. You know, I didn't know you don't question God, but I did, you know, not knowing any better. And I said, God, you got to give me something better than this, you know, because I can't take the Word of God back to the New Age. They don't believe it. And that's when God said, you already have it. And I had to think about that, and I said, we already have it, then it must be something we've already done, we've already recorded. And I went to my lead investigator, and I said, let's go back and look at something here. You know, somewhere here we've got something that we're missing. And we happened to pull that videotape out, amongst others, and we rewatched it. And then right there with us sitting in front of him, this guy tells us his story. But we were blinded, we were silenced, where we could not hear a word he was saying while we were sitting there in front of him.
Wow.
It wasn't until we watched the video that we thought, oh my, this is huge.
Wow.
And this particular story, he had a sighting in the evening before going to bed. He kind of blew it off, thinking it was helicopters looking for drug runners in the woods across from where he lived. He lives in a remote area in the central part of Florida. And when he went to bed, his dogs were agitated. He finally got to lay down and calm down and relax. Huh. And that's when the typical scenario of paralysis set in. He couldn't move. Panic set in. And that's when the experience happened. And it was a very terrifying experience for him. He was very fearful of what was happening to him. And just in a panic, he called out, Jesus, 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 or Jesus, help me. And then he was abruptly slammed down into the bed. What he felt was slammed into the bed, was completely awake at the moment. His wife woke up, who had been sleeping beside him, and said, why are you jumping on the bed?
Huh.
And it was interesting, because we went back and questioned him after watching this interview and tried to get his thoughts on this. And at that time, he did profess to being a brand-new Christian. and was going to a small conservative Christian church where he lived, right near where he lived. And he'd just become a Christian. He was just learning about being a Christian. And because of that, that's why he called out. And but he never made the connection. And I have to tell you that it was 10 years of being a friend of his and talking to him and trying to share with him. But it was 10 years before he really saw the light about what was happening. And now he's one of the most powerful testimonies I have.
That's just incredible. Joe, we're at the bottom of the hour. We got to take a break, and we'll be back at the other side of it. You are listening to Acceleration Radio, our very special guest tonight, Joe Jordan, and we're going to get into some fun stuff here on the remainder of the show. I am your host, L.A. Marzulli. You are listening to Acceleration Radio, and we will see you at the other side of the break.
Cell phone for business or staying in touch with family, your cell phone use is increasing. Use the Wave Shield, developed for ultimate cellular protection. The Wave Shield blocks, reduces, and deflects up to 97% of the radiation from entering the soft tissue of your ear. The Wave Shield, made of a patented mesh material, is proven and tested to block radiation without affecting reception. Order your Wave Shield today for only $19.95.
Did he just say $19.95? Hey, times are tough, so American Voice Radio Network is cutting the price to $17.95. That's right, $17.95 plus mailing. You can protect yourself, family, and friends from cell phone danger to your inner ear. $17.95 at theamericanvoice.com. That's the superstore at theamericanvoice.com. $17.95 plus mailing. Order now.
Wars and rumors of wars. Famine and pestilence. Earthquakes and floods around the world. Global financial crisis. What does it all mean? Find out in the startling new book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, by best-selling author L.A. Marzulli. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is a hard-hitting expose of current events and how they may relate to ancient biblical prophecies. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural explains the growing potential for nuclear war in the Middle East, the Great Deception, the so-called alien agenda, and groundbreaking new information on the return of the Nephilim and the UFO connection. Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural is available exclusively at lamarzulli.net. Plus, if you order now, you'll receive L.A. Marzulli's new ebook, The Alien Interviews, absolutely free. Don't wait. Get both of these groundbreaking books today for only $10 plus shipping and handling. Log on to lamarzulli.net.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
You're listening to AVR, the American Voice Radio Network. We're on free-to-air KU-band satellite at Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, frequency 11836 vertical, with symbol rate 20.770, PID left audio channel. Visit our website at theamericanvoice.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm your host, L.A. Marzulli. Welcome to Acceleration Radio. Right now, we are number 5 in internet radio stats. Pretty cool. And we're up there with Michael Savage, number 1, Laura Ingraham, number 2, Rusty Humphreys, 3, Mark Levin, 4, and then yours truly, Acceleration Radio, number 5. Not bad company. I am amazed, and thank you, those listeners out there, to tuning in to Acceleration Radio every week. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Christmas season is coming up. And I would suggest, or I would tell you about something which is sort of exciting to me anyway. It's our holiday specials on our website. If you go to www.lamarzulli.net, you will see a whole variety of interesting DVDs and books you can purchase. What's interesting to me is the Alien Interviews has new material in it. It is no longer an ebook; it's a paperback. If you've got someone in your family that knows nothing about UFOs or that's a skeptic, and you want to sort of bring them up to speed, this book is a primer. There's over 17 hard-hitting interviews with people who have experienced the UFO phenomena firsthand. It's available only in paperback. We also have a great DVD about the Star of Bethlehem. You may recall, I've blogged about this incessantly, when Benjamin Krem, who's always talking about the manifestation of Maitreya, claims that there is a reemergence of the Bethlehem star that is heralding the coming of Maitreya, and that 2,000 years ago it was a UFO that the wise men saw. Is he full of hot air? This is a riveting DVD that explores what the Star of Bethlehem really was. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was not a mothership. It was not a UFO. We also have the mainstay Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, the coming great deception of a Luciferian Endgame. We have another DVD called The Fabric of Time. It's a wonderful expose on the most enigmatic piece of cloth in all of history. And, of course, I speak about the Shroud of Turin. Was the carbon dating incorrect? You bet your bottom dollar it was. Is there a media cover-up? You judge for yourself. And what are the holographic images found on the shroud? Is this, as I call, the calling card of God? Is that what it is? We also have a fascinating book called The Ninth Generation, a fast-paced novel that is both fascinating and informative about the Nephilim in the days of Noah, and, of course, our monthly news magazine you can sign up for. So, again, go to the site. That's lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, and strongly would recommend The Alien Interviews. It's really a great book. In fact, Joe Jordan, who is our guest tonight, came on the record in that book. And once again, Joe, thanks so much for doing that. And now we return to live radio. Not that it wasn't live before, but Joe, continue the story. Tell us what happened after speaking with that man and discovering it 10 years later, or he finally embraced it 10 years later. Where did this then lead you?
Well, we had other cases that came up right after that first case, first interview with him, you know, actually discovering that interview with him, what he had said there. And we started to build cases very similar to what we had come across with his. And because we decided to pick this piece of the puzzle to work with, because I had an opportunity to talk to some of the leading abduction researchers in the country, and they verified that they had come across similar cases, I knew there were more out there. But my question to them was, how come it wasn't being documented? You know, and how come they weren't talking about it? Because right. This is something that should be shared.
Absolutely.
Even if one case is real, it should be looked at. Well, they verified that they also had come across cases. I had a first case, so I went looking for the other cases. I made myself available, posting this up on the Internet. It went out through Flying Saucer Review in 97 and went through the Gannett newspaper article that went all over the country and started getting us some exposure. And people started calling in, say, yes, I've had these experiences. I, too, have called out in the name and authority of Jesus Christ and stopped it. So we started building this database over the years. And as the years went by, I'm constantly trying to talk to this same gentleman from the very first case, mm-hmm. but he wasn't ready to let go of the whole alien ET idea.
Sure.
And he was still having experiences. And after 10 years, you know, we finally, it finally broke with him, and he no longer has these experiences, and he's a powerful testimony for us. But along the way, we have now worked with over 400 cases over 13 years, and I've got almost 82, 83 on the website right at this present time that are available to be seen. The written testimonies through the help of Byron LeBeau and Greg Messina from Cursed Net Radio, they've been bringing the testimonies on and letting them speak in their own voice and answer the questions and tell their testimony.
Wow.
So we've got them in audio form now, too, on the website, so you can hear them. In 2008, I brought 10 of them up on stage at that Roswell UFO conference, and I brought the evidence to the stage. And I said, here's the evidence. Question them. Touch them. These people are real. Ask them questions. Their story is real. You will understand this. Of all those leading researchers at that conference that I invited, not one of them questioned the evidence. And then you brought this up in the beginning where people are making, you know, blatant remarks against us in our research, but they've never examined the research. And I offer the research to be examined, where we don't get to examine theirs, but mine are there to be looked at. Please talk to these testimonies. Please listen to how their lives have been turned around because of the way they've been able to stop the experience. That is the evidence.
And of course, there's no collusion between the witnesses. I mean, they didn't know each other. They didn't, you know, meet in the little therapy session. These are all independent cases. There's no collusion, and yet they have the same story. You know, Joe, I want to address this. There seems to be a cover-up or, you know, a deliberate cover-up in ufology, and certainly in the exopolitic movement. I was on George Norrie last night for 4 hours, and I kept coming back.
And a great show it was.
Thank you. Appreciate that. But I kept coming back to the same thing. And look, it's okay for us to disagree. And we're not talking religion here. We're talking like, you know, something that's so powerful, that's supernatural. We need to look at this. Why can't we examine the evidence? And it's like, it's almost like the people's, their brains just, they take the switch and go click, and they walk out of the room. And there you had 10 people that were living stones, living witnesses of what was really going on, and they were able to stop the abduction. Surely, if these researchers cared a hoot, I mean, if I didn't have the worldview I had, I'd be right down there going, okay, you know, what is this? Who's this Jesus guy? What do you mean? You said, you know, you cried out to him. Well, would it work with Buddha? Would it work with Muhammad? I mean, and have you explored that? Have other people from other cultures? You have anything to say about that? Have people called out, let's say, to Buddha or Muhammad, or is it only Jesus that is able to deliver them from the experience?
It's only Jesus that we're finding that delivers them 100% from the experience. I've had a great researcher working with us over the years since I met her in 2007, Farah Yordozu, a Turkish investigator.
Wow.
And she was at the conference in 07 and also in 08 in Roswell. And I had a chance to talk with her, and she was very fascinated. And she actually interviewed us for Jerry Pippen Show. And she was fascinated by what we had. Now, she has also said that in her country, there have been cases of the abduction experience where they called out in the name of Allah and or Muhammad, either one, and it stopped for them. But not stopped in the way that it stopped for the people that I have as testimony cases. Because there's an attraction over there in the Islamic world with these experiences because they bring supernatural powers to the people, whether it be psychic abilities or whatever. And they're attracted by that. The abduction experience itself seems to be able to be stopped, but they're left with these psychic abilities that is seducing them, and that's an attraction to them. So is it really stopping? I would say no. Because it's changed their mindset, and that's what we're seeing with the abduction experience.
Right.
And Mike Heiser talks about this. The main purpose of the abduction experience is to change a point of change a worldview, change their mindset.
Let me, with these
people.
Let me just jump in here real quick, and I would certainly concur and agree with that. I mentioned last night Whitley Strieber. I mean, Strieber starts off when he first. Becomes an abductee, and he's terrified, and he's like railing against this experiencing, his mind screaming, this seems like the demons of old. I mean, he's like, he writes it in his book, he's like, just screaming this. That's what he believes. And then over a period of time, he lets go of that and then begins to embrace the phenomena. And I've seen the same thing in other contactees that, I've talked to. They kind of just, it overwhelms them at some point and they accept it. And that's so dangerous. And, you know, in some ways, Joe, and I want to get your thoughts on this. In some ways, it's very similar to what the concentration camp guards went through. It's like, well, we're just
syndrome.
Yeah, it's the same type of thing. We're just killing non-human entities. And we see that in radical Islam where, well, the Jews are descendants from apes and pigs, so they're really not human. It's that same mindset. It's very dangerous.
So that's what we've been dealing with. That's what we've been dealing with in all of this. And we've been trying to share this research, trying to share the evidence. Like I say, we keep putting it out there in every way that we can.
Right.
And it's free to look at. And my experiencers that I've worked with, they always ask me, please put our number out there. Please make us available to talk to these other researchers. Because as I've brought them to the conferences over the years, I mean, I started in 2003 back in Roswell,
where
I had one testimony up on stage. 2004, I had 4 or 5, and it just kept growing. And I just did another talk here local in Central Florida where I had Guy Malone and Chris Ward here with us, and we had 9 testimonies there with that one. And this was the first one that I've actually seen people mingle and talk to them, which was, that was good to see because that's the first time I've actually seen that. And I hope that will continue. But the top researchers themselves, they won't talk to these testimonies. They won't look at the evidence because they will be changed by the evidence. And I think
Absolutely.
That's what they're afraid of.
It's
easier to
that.
Slam us personally.
Right. It opens up sort of I'm mixing metaphors here, and I know that it sort of opens up a Pandora's box into the supernatural. And if it's like, if the name of Jesus is working, why does it work? And specifically, when a person says the blood of Jesus, what are they tapping into? What belief system triggers that? And it's just like, you know, in my opinion, and I know you believe this too, it's the guidebook of the supernatural tells us that the blood of Jesus on Calvary changed everything. And in my opinion,
sure.
It's the most pivotal point of history. But if you don't believe any of that, and then, you know, you're confronted with a complete set of dynamics and a new paradigm in which you know nothing about. And Joe, you and I both know we're not talking religion. We're not talking candles and stained glass window and monks with funny haircuts and rosary beads and statues and basilicas and none of that. That's all man-made gobbledygook. We're talking about spiritual warfare 101. These people are literally fighting for their lives. You know, they're in a state of abject fear, and they call out like Lawrence Gray did with Mothman, the blood of Jesus, and boom, it stops. Give us some more examples of that.
Well, to continue with what you were just talking about there, the authority that these people have to do this, to use that name, comes from making an allegiance, a personal relationship, an allegiance to Jesus Christ. And that's something that Jesus Christ offers freely for you to do. Where these entities, keep in mind, with all of the experiences these people have, it's always against the people's will. And that's something that needs to be considered when looking at this experience, too. And it always comes down to there seems to be a war for your soul. And
right.
It's a matter of whose side you take allegiance to. And the side of Jesus Christ always has an authority over the other side. And that's shown in the evidence.
Can you tell us, when I was in Roswell this summer and I met you for the first time, and it was really great just to, you know, I wish I could have spent more time there, but finances and schedule just didn't permit me to do that. And, you know, we just had a sort of a hi, how are you handshake and, you know, a slap on the back type of thing, and off we went. And I signed the poster and I said my thing, and I almost didn't make my flight back. That's how tight it was for me. But I got the rental car back and made it. But you had brought an experiencer with you. I don't remember her name offhand, but
Joyce.
She was in the booth. Yeah, that's right, Joyce. And I was able to speak to her and just sort of do my own little interview with her. And, of course, when I got back, I blogged about that and talked about it. And it was just amazing to to speak like someone like Lynn Dickey or, you know, others certainly that you've come across. What is the most dramatic experience that you've seen, that you've recorded?
Well, I would have to say Joyce is a fascinating experience because her whole family is involved.
Right.
And there's a TV show on the A&E channel on Alien Abductions that's been airing for the past 10 years. And every year they run it again, and her family is on there. But
wow,
they don't show the rest of the story. And you got to meet Joyce, and you know the rest of the story.
Absolutely.
You know Joyce's
right.
story. And actually, right. her family, since she's gone back home and worked with them, none of them have had any experiences since she's been back home and she's been set free. And I'm hoping that someday I will have testimony from the entire family, and that would be powerful. But I would say probably one of the most powerful cases that I came across was the second one that I ever worked with. It was a gentleman who called me. I knew him from work. And he used to ridicule me on UFO stuff. He had every joke you could come up with about being involved in UFOs.
Huh.
And I used to just put up with his kidding. And then one day he called me, and he was being very serious, and he says, "I'd like to talk with you about the stuff you work with." And I said, "Okay." And he said, "I got to tell you, I've been having these experiences." And I was busy at the time that he had called me. I had a number of things going on. In my research, and so I kind of asked him right then and there up front. I said, "Well, are you having problems with the experience? You know, do you want it to stop, or, you know, is there any problem that you're having?" And he said, "No, not really. I just wanted to share it with you." So I kind of put him off for a week or so till I had time to sit and talk with him about it. But that week or so wasn't allowed to happen. 2 days later, he calls me 11:30 at night. And he's in a sheer panic. And he had been out with his girlfriend. They were members of a dart team, and they were going to the two different bars that were having dart competition. And he had had an experience while in the car with his wife, with his girlfriend driving. And he actually was taken while he was in the car. He remembers the whole experience. And then it was probably about an hour later, it happened again. So now he is totally terrified, and he said the experiences were not like they were originally. Something had changed. They were becoming very nasty. And that's when as soon as he got home, he called me, and he was trying to share this with me. He was in a sheer state of panic, and I said, "Just calm down." And all of a sudden, he started saying, "They're coming again." And I said, "Before you get off the phone, put your girlfriend on the phone." I said, "I want you to keep this line open." And I knew he was getting ready to go out again. And I put her on the phone, and she's freaked out, and she's saying, "What's happening, and who are you?" And I said, "Just calm down, and I'll talk to you for a minute." I said, "Just stay on the line with me." I said, "He's going to be okay." And then as we talked about this story, come to find out, twice in the car with her, he got real panicky, said somebody was coming, and all of a sudden he would just, his head would just bow over, and it would like he would just pass out. And only a couple minutes went by, and he would come to in a real abrupt state and be totally panicked and freaked out, and it took a while to catch his composure. But while he was in that, what she felt, an unconscious state for those couple minutes, she checked his heartbeat and everything else, and everything seemed to be normal. He did seem to turn cold, but he would come right out of it within a couple minutes. But his recollection of it was like a long period of time. He could tell you an experience that was happening in those couple minutes that would take hours to explain. So there's a time distortion thing going on there.
Right.
But did he really go anywhere? No, he did not. And while I had her on the phone, it happened again. He went right to the floor. And he was only out a couple minutes while I was trying to explain to her who I was. And when he came to, he had a message for me. He got on the phone, and his voice was hoarse. He was 100 miles an hour in sheer panic, and he said, "They're pissed at you." And I said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "They're pissed at you." And I said, "Who are you talking to?" And he says, "You." I said, "They're pissed at me." I said, "How do you know this?" He said, "They told me this." I said, "Well, why are they pissed at me?" He said, "Because you know what the blank is going on." I went straight to my knees. I went straight to my knees. That was confirmation from the entities themselves through him to let me know that they were pissed because I knew what was going on. That was one of the craziest cases I ever worked with. And I went and met with him the next morning. I got him calmed down, met with him the next morning, had him tell his whole story. I had two more researchers there with me, both believers. And he went through the whole story, telling us everything that happened that night about the past experiences he had when they were good and how they changed. And then right at the end, after about 2 hours of interview, he said, "They're coming again." And he got real panicky and real scared. And then one of the female researcher I had with me went around behind him, put her hands on his shoulders, and started rebuking. And he went from sheer panic to a very calm smile on his face. And he looked straight at me and he said, "How did you do that?" And I said, "Well, let's take time and I'll tell you what just happened here."
Right.
And he's never had another experience, got his walk together with God, and has been free ever since.
You know, when I was at Roswell, and I've been saying this before, and it's, you just, you know, kind of tipped it off. It's like, we need to learn to rebuke first and ask questions later. You know,
we are
moving into some very, what I believe, are very dark and tenuous days. And, you know, Joe, it's just been a pleasure to have you on, and we're going to have to do it more than twice a year, absolutely. And also, if you want to bring some of the experiencers would like to come on the show, I think our listeners would find that fascinating. So, you know, we can talk offline, you know, via email. And if you want to give me a couple of names or, you know, set that up, I'd love to have them on the show. I think it would.
Sure, they'd love to be on.
Yeah, and it would sort of solidify what you're talking about and the books that I write. It's all part of the same thing. We're working for the same team here. We're running out of time. I want you to tell people where they can get books, DVDs, check out your website. Could you give us that information? And what's coming up for you?
Sure. The website is CE4research.com. We've got DVDs from the conferences we've done on there. I've got the audio testimonies that they can listen to, radio shows that we've done interviews with, not only myself, but with the experiencers. We actually have a book coming out. Dave Ruffino from Delusion Resistance and PAPSI, our counseling group. Together, him and I put a book together, and Dave did a fascinating job writing it. I collaborated with him on the research, and the title is Unholy Communion, The Alien Abduction Phenomenon, Where It Originates and How It Stops. And it's being published by Tom Horn, and last message I got from him, we're looking about the 1st of February for its release.
That's fantastic.
Have some of the testimonies in there, too.
Congratulations. Congratulations. That's wonderful. What will you say, let's close with this question if we can. I'm not sure how much time we have left. I know Frank, our producer, who always does a stellar job, will let me know, Frank, just how many minutes I have left so I can sort of pace myself here. But look, I talk about this continually, that the phenomena is real and burgeoning and not going away. And what would you say to people in the church? That we got about 4 minutes. So, what would you say to people in the church, Joe? That you know, sort of look at you and with the eyeball roll and oh, come on, you know, you got to be kidding. And yet, I mean, it's all around us. As I blogged about and spoke to George last night in July, there were over 350 sightings. I mean, it's just absurd what's going on. So the phenomena isn't going away. How do you you know, talk about that to people within Christendom?
It's very tough, and you have to bring it on in a milk sort of way, not hit them with the meat because they're not familiar with the UFO phenomenon. But the first thing I would do is use the research from some of the powerful secular researchers we have out there that have done a great job on showing that the UFO phenomenon is real. And then if they can grasp that there is really something happening, don't let them question what it is yet, but let them just grasp that there is something happening. And if they can grasp that, then I can share with them what I found in the research and what it shows. And a believer, once I get them to that point, they are fully understanding that this is about spiritual warfare.
Right.
And then my next question to them is, are you willing to help? This is a battle. This is a battle for people's souls. You are the army. You, the church, are the army that we need to help fight this war. And we are here to empower you with the research and the knowledge that we've gained in the years that we've worked with this so that you have the tools to help in this battle.
That's fascinating. You know, it's I have never been invited yet to a church to speak, and I've written five books and have been on hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of like you, of radio shows, and just never been invited. Although, just recently, a very large church in Southern California has made some inquiries, so who knows where this will lead. But, you know, Joe, the phenomena is real, and we see the Vatican telling us that, you know, E.T. should be embraced as our brother, the exopolitic movement calling for full disclosure, lots of UFO in the UFO experts, so-called experts, calling for full disclosure. We see Brazil releasing 800 pages of documents, the U.K. I mean, we are literally surrounded on this. And then you tie Hollywood in with the Fourth Kind and District 9 and Knowing and V, the television movie, and the new things which Disney's coming out with another one. I mean, we are literally inundated with this. And I just believe when the Bible speaks, or the supernatural guidebook, as I like to refer to it, tells us very specifically that God sends them strong delusion because they did not believe the truth. And I think that we're in that window of time. Your thoughts on that, sir?
Absolutely. I do believe that this is part of that strong delusion that was spoken of with lying signs and wonders. I came across that idea working with Dr. David Allen Lewis back in, when I first came across my first couple testimonies, I contacted him, and in his book, UFO End Time Delusion, he actually states that also. And that came from the early 90s when he wrote that. And I still stand by that today, that this is, and this is the seduction that these people are falling for.
Sure, sure. Fascinating stuff. And there's the music, ladies and gentlemen. That's all the time we have for. Hats off to Joe Jordan. Joe, you're doing a fantastic, wonderful job, dare I say ministry, because that's what it is, but you're on the forefront of this war, and we really thank you so much for coming on Acceleration Radio again. Joe, give your website one more time.
It's ce4research.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
and
this is Acceleration. Thanks, Joe, appreciate it. You're listening to Acceleration Radio. I am your host, Ellie Marzulli. Next week, Chuck, we'll be talking about cattle mutilations. I think you will find that as fascinating as I did talking to him. That's Chuck Zukowski next week. And please, if you've got some Christmas presents that you want to give, go to my site, lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, and you will see the alien interviews. It's a great primer about the UFO phenomena. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to Acceleration Radio. And remember, I will see you either in the air or on the air. Good night, everybody.